are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like, man. Hey, listen, I gotta pause before we go to our good times with Butters and Lee. I got to remind you guys, over the past month, I've been introducing you to one of our newest sponsors, right? Inspire Advisors. I hope some of y'all have checked them out because this is a game changer, man. Inspire Advisors. Did you know that, like, if you're one of those who's checking things out, investing in things for your future, and also the kind of person who stands up for what you believe in, that you may be investing in companies that go straight to stuff that you would never want to be involved with? Like, some of your investments may be going to companies that support abortion or pornography or human trafficking. Listen, the bottom line is this. You might want to meet, in person, you might want to meet Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors. They are specialists in the field of what is known as biblically responsible investing, or sometimes referred to as BRI. So Paul and the folks at Inspire Advisors, they will literally sit down with you in person, have a consultation for free, no strings attached, literally not trying to upsell you, and they'll give you a look at what's in your portfolio. And at the same time, they'll offer you some biblically all, you know, inspired alternatives if you want to check it out. So yeah, Paul Breyer, Inspire Advisors, there's no cost, no obligation. You can find them at their website, which is moneypatternwealth.com. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com. Or you can go to rightsidemedia.org, our website, and go to the Right Side Radio Sponsors tab, click on it, and bam, go right to their logo, and it'll take you to their website. So yeah, Inspire Advisors, y'all. Check them out. It's godly, it's conservative, it's balanced. It's financial freedom, man. Inspire Advisors. All right, we're going right now to the phones to talk to some people that I just enjoy having on this show. You know them, you love them. Sometimes they even host the show or run the boards. I'm going to call the roll real quick. Butters, are you on the line with us, my brother?
I am, and I have to say real quick, that was cute that you mentioned, I hope there's no big incidents that needs a strong presidency for the next few months.
Yeah, because we got breaking news right now about threats from Iran and southern border. All right, that's neither here nor there, but thank you, Butters. All right, Butters is here. How about reaching over to the far northern side of our state, Lee from Huntsville. Are you there, Lee?
I'm here.
You are indeed. I pronounce a quorum. Give me some whoop-whoops. All right, you guys, you know the deal. I ask questions and we see what kind of answers you got, and then we flip the script later and you ask me questions to see what I got. So here's my first question, since we just spent a bit of time talking about Biden and Kamala Harris. Here's my question for you. So Kamala is like giving a speech to the National Teachers Union today. Oh, boy. So for the next 100 days, is her best strategy to go more liberal or to try and moderate herself so she's not seen as too liberal? What's your thoughts on it, Lee? You first.
You know, strategy-wise, I don't see how she can't stay liberal. When you say go liberal, she is. She's left of liberal. She's leftist. I mean, she had the most leftist record of any senator when she was the brief time she spent in Congress. I mean, but I don't think that she can go any direction but that, because that is, first of all, her true beliefs, and second, her base will expect that. So maybe she chooses a VP with a little bit more moderate views, kind of try and help balance. But, I mean, people don't elect a VP, so I don't know if that'll help her. She's definitely a leftist, though.
So you think she'll stay left, like not even pretend, just go ahead and embrace what she is and go with it?
I mean, for the most part, maybe a little outreach, but, I mean, it's not serious.
Well, I mean, they've already begun wiping off the liberal stuff that's in print. Like GovTrack wiped out the record of her being listed as the most liberal senator of 2019. All right, well, tell you what, Butters, well, what do you think,
man? They
can
try.
Butters, are they going to try and moderate her, or are they going to try and just go ahead and embrace who she is and go with it?
Well, as a social media guy, I think she's going to just shuck and jive. They're going to do whatever and deliver whatever they think is going to work to wherever people are consuming the information. So, whatever we end up seeing versus, you know, whatever gets disseminated in other places, you know, certainly the media right now, yep, they're trying to make her more moderate because, you know, that the people that pay attention to the traditional media are people that are a little more in the center. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it matters. They're going to just do whatever they've got to do.
So you're basically saying she's going to be the chameleon candidate. Whatever's needed at the moment is what she's going to try and be.
I mean, can we really trust whatever room she's standing in, whatever, you know, video pops up, whatever. I mean, like, what? It's meaningless. It's the machine that she's serving anyways.
Well, that's such a great point. I get a little concerned when I see them wiping out the actual record and trying to pretend we didn't see the videos of Trump of Biden appointing her to handle the border. Like, that didn't happen. She was never the border czar. Oh, you need a title? But anyway. All right, well, we'll see. We'll see. But let me ask you this. So a minute ago, change of question. Like right now, I'm watching on the screen, General Jack Keane is talking about how CENTCOM just struck Houthi drone launchers in Yemen. So we're actively engaged. Things are happening around the world. Biden says he's going to stay in office for the next 6 months. So yesterday, while he's giving his speech, at the same time he's giving it, no coincidence in my opinion, Russian and Chinese warplanes were intercepted by, interdicted by, you know, U.S. Air Force assets just outside of our U.S. airspace near Alaska. Russia and China. In your opinion, are we going to be seeing more of this or less over the next 6 months? Butters, you first.
I think absolutely. For a little additional context beyond just the U.S. presidency, keep in mind that they just wrapped up RIMPAC, which was apparently the largest RIMPAC, which is the largest military exercise in history that brings all of the Pacific nations together. So I'm sure part of this is in direct response to the show of force, if you will, of RIMPAC. But yeah, I mean, I still say I wouldn't shock me to see China make the play for Taiwan. Maybe not necessarily aggressively right now. They could probably do it through legal means and all sorts of stuff, and nobody's really going to push back on it.
But what do you think? Before Butters probably go to Lee, what do you think about the fact that they did this encroachment upon our airspace right when Biden was giving his speech? You see any? I mean, they knew what they were doing, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're not dummies, they're gonna do this. I will say, you know, as a place of calmness, you know, we lived through the Cold War, which this is what happened every single day, and most Americans just didn't know it. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think it was by accident the timing of doing it.
All right, Lee, what do you think? I mean, looking at this from the international foreign policy military perspective, what are we going to see more of this or less for the next 6 months?
Oh, I mean, for sure more. What it was a show of strength, and they're saying, we know you're weak. We know you're weak right now. Your leader, is obviously in cognitive decline, pulling out of the race, doesn't think he can do another 4 years, but yet thinks he can finish out 6 more months. It's mind games. They're just basically telling us, you're weak and we're stronger. And the fact that they did it together is enough to make you feel a little bit, you know, disturbed, because here they are together making this show. And they're basically telling us, we're going to, you know, you're not the superpower anymore. You're not the leader anymore. You're weak. And we're going to take this moment of your weakness to show our strength.
Butter, what you got?
So I will say, I don't think, you know, we kind of view as Americans that the messaging is to America. And I don't think that's, honestly, I don't think that's the case at all. You know, they're who is the message of what they're doing? Who is that to? You know, they're not trying to defeat America. They're messaging, or I'm sorry, change the minds of Americans. They're trying to message to all of the allies, all of the other, particularly the folks over on their side of the world. So
that's a great point.
Of course. I mean, but it doesn't change. The meaning of what they did has the same meaning, whether or not who's looking at it, right? I sound like Kamala. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's showing all of the Asian countries, if you're feeling mighty nervous right now, it's showing them, it's showing their own people, look at our strength. It's showing Europe saying, look what we're doing to, you know, America. They're, you know, what, it doesn't matter that they're your friend anymore because they're not going to be dominant in the future. It's all mind game. But the fact that they're close to Alaska is just disturbing. I just feel as if we're watching right now the downfall of our title of superpower. I feel like it's just the beginning of the end, honestly.
Well, you know, I agree with Butters that during the Cold War era, this is the kind of thing that happened all the time. But I'll also say that it was still a message-sending moment. I really believe that they knew exactly what they were doing. The timing was exactly what it was meant to be. It was coinciding with the fact that Biden was, you know, giving a speech, or at least the speech was being presented to us. And I think it was designed to, send a message to America to some degree, but I agree with Butters. I think it was designed to tell the world, your big buddy over there, we're not scared of him, and we're working together over here, just so you know. So I think that was a thing. Anyway, and by the way, either one of y'all watched the speech last night? Either one of you?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Butters took a night away from politics, and I cannot say that I blame you. Your impressions, Lee, what'd you see real quick, about a minute?
He did a good job reading the teleprompter, but he just seemed exhausted by the end of it.
He did.
And it wasn't that long of a speech. And I think that we saw the same thing we've been seeing. It is what it is.
It was sad and defeated, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We're going to flip the script here momentarily. We're taking a break. That's round one of Butters and Lee. That flew by, man. That just flew by. We'll come right back after the break. And yep, this is when they ask me whatever question they want to. And I just hope I got an answer for them. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right. And we'll be back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man. Making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're about to go to round two of Butters and Lee. This is where they ask me questions. But hey, Butters, I got to tell you real quick. Let's see. This was Cheryl from Madison, who I think has a Prowler connection with you in some way. She sent a picture of a book, wants to know if you read the book. It's called Cease Buzzer, Life as a U.S. Navy EA-6B Pilot in the Era of Top Gun by J.B. Springett. Anyway, didn't know if you've ever seen that book. She wanted to know.
I've heard of it.
It's out there, just so you know. Cheryl from Madison, thank you. All right, we go to the portion of this where I hold my breath and wait expectantly to see what questions you have for me. So ladies first, Lee, what do you got?
I really enjoyed your monologue on gaslighting. Was that yesterday? It was really good.
It was yesterday, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And yes, I really liked it. And I wondered if you thought that in today's world of nothing is gone forever, you know, because the internet is forever. Because, you know, in politics, there's been gaslighting forever.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I think it's a lot more difficult to, like this whole border czar thing. You can't say she's the border czar 1,500 times and come back and go, she was over the border czar. No, it don't work that way. And you know, they even have Axios out there saying she was the border czar and then came back and said, no, she was never, and you're like, you can't do that. My question for you is this going to be able to, get out? Like, are the mainstream media going to allow it? Like, cause they're going to fight hard for her, us to be able to combat these gaslighting.
I will say this, the Hunter Biden laptop and the banning of Donald Trump from Twitter taught us a lot about grabbing what you can and holding on to it. And oh, by the way, when Elon Musk bought Twitter, he saved us from another round of hiding the laptop, if you know what I mean. So we have the benefit right now. Like right now, something like, I read a stat that said something like 72% of Americans get their news off of social media, and the largest of those is going to wind up being Twitter. And so... all we can do is keep plugging it. And, you know, and I see these posts that are coming out a lot right now saying, remember that time when Axios called her the border czar? It'd be a shame if this tweet went viral and people are retweeting it like crazy. And so we just got to keep doing that. And that's all we can do is they're going to try and counter message. They're going to try and obfuscate and cover up and reinterpret and revision. And all we can do is keep showing them why we see through their... It's like, you remember the old thing from Alice in Wonderland, the Cheshire Cat? He would disappear, but his smile could still be seen. Like, you could still tell where he was.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. They keep pretending that we can't see them, but we still can. So we just got to keep pointing that out.
Can I tell Can I tell you what my grandfather called what they're doing to Kamala? He would call it polishing a turd.
That's exactly right. I say that all the time. It's like polishing a turd. It's still a turd.
That's exactly.
Perfect. I love your granddad. All right. Butters, with about 4 minutes here, what you got, dude?
Well, so wargaming. You do
literally
much wargaming in your army days?
A few times, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So looking at this Tuberville warning about the CDC forecasting for bird flu.
Yeah.
So let's play that out. What is that actually? How do we combat that? If that, because I don't think it's out of the realm of possible. Yeah. They want to try and shut down polls or do some crazy thing. How can we not let that happen?
I think there's going to have. So first of all, good luck with that, because you know the idea of masking and not having election days. You know, states are going to rebel. Some states will literally rebel as a government. I think Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, probably Georgia. I think the Southeast would likely rebel. Texas, we would say, you know, forget y'all. But there'll be other states that would go, yeah, we can't do it right now. And they'll try to throw off the election by doing that. But then what they'll realize is the Constitution requires that the election results be in by a certain day. And if they don't participate, they're in trouble. So I think there's going to have to be a measure of both state firewalls, like conservative states actually holding the line against this stuff, an immediate call for the Supreme Court to intervene should they try to do something like that. And then the next thing I would say is we've already established some legal precedent for why they can't do that again. But then lastly, civil disobedience on the part of citizens. I think that citizens need to be prepared to go, you can't lock me out. I'm not wearing a mask. And no. How about this? Take a flying leap. I am not doing that again. You played that round in 2020 with us, and we're not doing it this time. So it's going to take that.
They'll do it again.
Alabama will say, we're having an election?
I think Alabama would, yes. I do. I think Secretary of State Wes Allen and Attorney General Steve Marshall and at least those who surround Governor Ivey, who don't want her legacy to be I shut down the state again, and the current state legislature, I think that they would. But listen, man, if they do it, it's going to have to be one of those things where people are literally dropping dead in the streets for it to really stick. Because if they just try to say it's scary out there and try to scare us into staying home and not voting, I think they're going to have a riot on their hands. And it's not going to be just, you know, on one January 6th day. That's me thinking.
I mean, that's what they're counting on, the fear from that, the residual fear of the government coming after you to keep people in line, especially Republicans, because we tend to be a bit more rule following. But they're going to do it. I'd say look about September. They're going to start, the bird flu is going to kick up again. The talk of it anyway. And the reason those cows got bird flu anyway is because they were fed ground-up ducks. They were fed things they shouldn't have been fed, they shouldn't eat, and they wouldn't normally eat.
Why do you know that?
And I think that I read an article on it.
It was on the internet. It must be true.
What's interesting about that
is a lot.
You know what, Butters?
The Republicans would gain from any of that, right? Because we're the ones that are going to show up. You know, we're not going to be the ones that are going to be as impacted by the
fear. I'd like to think so, but then again, they love early voting, and we don't. And if we're waiting until election day, then the mail-in ballots are going to win. So I'm just saying, we better take advantage of every system that's in place for us to use. All right, you guys, Butters and Lee, appreciate you. We'll see you again soon. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.